Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless this Sunday school time this morning, and I pray that you'll be with the man that's going to teach us your word. Lord, I pray that you'll use him for your honor and glory this morning, and I pray that what happens in this building today will bring you pleasure. Lord, I pray that you'll be with our hearts. I pray that we'll be open to your word. I pray that we won't have anything that will stop us from listening to the truth that you have to give us, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. All right, well, Brother Giff is with us, and he has been with us all week, and so he's here this morning, and he's going to be here this morning again, and then tonight, and then that's it. So make sure you're here for all those, because it's going to be good. And so rather than take any more time, when you come up for the gift, teach to us.
Amen. Well, it's good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
That's good to be in church.
Amen.
Well, we've been talking this week about the King James Bible, about the version controversy. And last night, we looked at 8 different versions and looked at what was wrong with those. And this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the New King James Bible. And we're going to look at the New King James Bible. Now, first of all, let me say this. You say something wrong with the new versions, and people go, I don't think y'all say anything bad about those versions. Well, they say something bad about our Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
Who threw the first stone? Don't give me this, turn your cheek. This is the Word of God.
Right.
And then I hear these people, and they don't have a brain, they can't help themselves. And they go,
defend the Bible? I'd rather defend a hungry lion.
You have to defend the Bible.
Hey, yeah.
I'm going to show you why. Hey, Bible, you're as stupid as it comes. Well, did it do anything?
Mm-hmm.
Did it defend itself?
No.
No, it can't defend itself. We defend the Bible.
Right.
And when a guy says, I don't want to defend the Bible, it's a coward. He wants to be a coward but look like a lion.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to look at the New King James Version, because that is the one that a lot of people get conned into getting.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Hang on a second. I got to get violent.
Oh, yeah.
It works. It really does. I got to get 3 kisses. Maybe we won't look at the New King James Bible. Probably it's in the other one.
You got one here.
Hang on a second. No, I want mine.
She got him with it.
She brings it every Sunday.
Yeah. If I took yours, what would you study? Yeah, it's in this one.
Hold on a second. It's that Sunday school teacher.
Well, here we go. Hang on a second. Has anybody told you that this is worthless? Well, we're going to get this open, and then we're going to look at the New King James Version. Somebody want to try this while I talk?
Yeah.
I got it, Greg.
Okay.
I got my leather on.
Yeah. I got my knife. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to look at... I also have a tooth back there in my bracket. Hold on. Oh, you're going to break it. You're going to hold it.
Oh, no, you don't want to break this.
Just break it. Destroy the briefcase.
Amen!
Well, yeah, I wouldn't argue with him in a business meeting.
It's a pile.
Oh, it was the other one I wanted. All right, we're going to look at the New King James Version this morning. Actually, we're going to look at 2 different New King James Versions.
Right.
And they say, well, I thought there's only one. Well, that's what you think. But things are not always as you think. And so what we're going to do, one of the things that people say this, well, the New King James Version is just the King James Bible without the these and the thous. And it's easier to read, easier to understand. It's not easier to read. It's not easier to understand, and it's not a King James Bible without the these and the thous. Now let me tell you one thing the New King James translators did. They were smart. If you deal with this issue on a minor basis, you've got some pet verses that you go to. Acts chapter 8, verse 37, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, and things like that. So you'll go, anytime somebody says, I have a new version, you'll go, well, look at this, and it's not there, or it's corrected, or it's changed, and you can get it. Well, the translator's New King James Version had your list.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, so they didn't change any of those verses.
Right.
So you go to this, and after about the third time, you've been totally disarmed.
Right.
And so I told Lord this, and you know what? What I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to read this thing cover to cover. And so I came across this one. This one is it's King James Bible and a New King James Bible, New King James Version, in parallel. King James Bible here, New King James, King James, New King James. And what I did is I marked my reading places. I read 30 pages a day, and so I read my Bible out of the King James column here, and then four times I've read the New King James Bible cover to cover. Now that is more times than the translators of it. That's true. When I did the John Ankerberg television program some years ago, Art Farstad, who was the head of that translation committee, admitted that on his personal devotions he uses the Latin. He doesn't use the King James Bible. He doesn't use the New King James Bible. Now, can you imagine translating a Bible that you didn't even think was good enough for your own personal devotions?
Right.
Which says something for it.
Yeah.
Really. Maybe he's got good taste. Maybe he knows something that that we don't know. So here's what we're going to do first. We are going to put up. Okay. Anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to put New King James Version, Authorized Version, King James Bible, and we're going to go through some words, because when they say that the Bible's easier to read, it'll be easier to read.
Sure.
Right? And I contend that the King James Bible, or New King James Bible, is not easier to read. Now, most of you, if you say it is, it's because you haven't read it, and it's because you went into a Bible bookstore and somebody told you it was easy to read. Being an American and not having a brain that you use,
right?
Then when somebody says, you know, well, this is easier to read, you go, well, I have to admit, you know, I'm a King James guy, but the New King James is easier to read. You don't know that.
Yeah, right, man.
Some bozo told you that.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Some guy at a bookstore told you that. You walked out parroting him. So let's find out if it's easier to read. You don't have to turn to these places because we will be going through them. But the first one is Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. And in that verse, the New King James Version decided to get pneumonia this morning. I'm trying to work it in. In that, the New King James Version uses the word terebinth trees. Okay? Now that's an improvement over what the Bible has. King James Bible says, it says Abraham dwelt in the plains.
Pretty
funny. Well, that's a lot. I guess they think Abraham was a monkey. Maybe these guys are evolutionists or something. Because they've got dwelling in terebinth trees. Genesis 35. Now, I'm going to use your logic. I know that's kind of hard. All right. If terebinth trees are plains, then what is a terebinth tree?
Point one.
Right. Oak. That's what they did. They took the word plains and turned it into terebinth tree. I don't know if these guys are woodsmen or what. And they took the word oak and turned it into terebinth tree. Now, here's what I want you to do. Just think about it. You got a bunch of young people here. How about these young people understand what... If you said an oak, they know it's a tree. If you said a terebinth, they say, what happened that's so terebinth? All right? So it's not easier to read. Leviticus chapter 4 and verse 11. And the New King James says the offal. You say, well, what in the world is offal? Well, let's understand what it is if you saw it in the Bible. Dung. Well, nobody reacted when I put offal because you didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
So how is it easier to understand? How is it easier to understand if you know what the words mean? I think, personally, I think it's just offal.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 7. And the New King James talks about the rock Pyrax. I know some of your parents are going, I ain't letting none of that rock in my house. But what that is, what that is in the Bible is a coney. You know, in the east where I come from, we have woodchucks. And out west, up in Montana, they have rock chucks. And that's basically what that is. That's just a little animal that lives amongst the rocks. And but a rock hyrax. I don't think anybody ever saw rock hyrax and suddenly grew spiritually because of the great revelation of the New King James Version. Judges chapter 8 and verse 13. Now you'll like this one because this is much clearer than the King James Bible. The ascent of Hermes. You say, well, what is that? Well, they got that from the sun was up. The sun was up. That's what your Bible says. And the New King James Translation put the ascent of Hermes. And like I was talking last night, some of you missed what we were talking about, but I worry about where these guys' minds are. You know, I worry that, you know, what they see, you know, I know you see things in clouds, but they ought not to get into your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 6. And it talks about a tamarisk tree. A tamarisk tree. You say, well, what's that? Well, the Bible says, tree. A tree, okay. Is that a tamarisk? No, I think it's a terebinth. Second Samuel 6 and verse 5. Sistrums. Now, when it says sistrum, I'm not talking about that thing that you catch your rainwater in, okay? But you know what a sistrum is?
Nope.
I'll bet you everybody in this room knows what a sistrum is. I bet every person here, some of you even him. But you need a Bible to know. It's a cornet. It's a trumpet-like instrument made out of brass. So you tell one of these young people about a cornet, and they know what you're talking about. You tell them about a sistrum, they have no idea what you're talking about. And how is this easier to understand?
Yeah, right.
You think taking the these and thous out of something makes it easier to understand? Not when you do this.
Right, right.
All right? And that's what they did, and you're not getting away from it.
But we're not done.
1 Kings 10, verse 2. Talks about a retinue. A retinue. Now, retinue, that's not part of your eye. But But you want to know what that is? Say, do you know that, remember Princess Di?
Yeah.
Just call her Di?
Yeah.
It's Di. But anyway, she had a 25-foot long one of these at her wedding. See that? Boy, women knew the answer, didn't they? But it's the train. It was a train of organo. But everybody can see, but you knew what a train was, didn't you?
Yep.
But you know what a retinue is. Isaiah 34 and verse 4. It gets a little spooky here because they talk about the night creature. You know, kids, the one hiding in your closet. Anyway. You say, what is it? Well, if you're saying, oh, there's a night creature out there. Yeah, don't worry. King James Bible identified for you. It's just a screech owl. You don't have to worry about it. So which is easier to understand?
A-B.
You see? King James Bible, not most of the time, every time.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 6 and verse 2. Satraps. Now, this has nothing to do with golf. But satrap. And again, now, you know what a satrap is. You really do. You just don't know that it's a satrap. You know it from your Bible word, King James Bible word. Princes. You know, that guy over in England, Satrap Charles. You call him Satrap Charles, probably smack your nose, call me that. Oh, and then this one, I really like this one, because it really has cleared up a lot of questions I had in my Bible. Now, you saw up here, terebinth trees and terebinth tree. Now we have terebinth. Now you ought to be thinking, let's see, terebinth trees are planes, terebinth tree is oak, so what are terebinths? So what are terebinths? Oh, I know you know, you're just trying to be modest. Elms.
Now they're elms.
You know what I got a feeling? I got a feeling those guys that knew King James Bible really don't know their trees.
Amen.
And then Titus chapter 1 and verse 6. It talks about dissipation. Now, this has nothing to do with Pepto-Bismol or anything like that. But dissipation. Now, didn't that enlighten you? You've read about this in the newspaper. Oh, yeah, you have.
Yep.
Yeah. Except you knew it by a 1611 archaic, out-of-date, irrelevant King James.
Come on. Oh, you betcha.
Riot. You remember the great dissipations of the 60s? The great Watts dissipation? Yeah, that's what we call them, isn't it? Now, what I'm telling you people is that they did not make the Bible. They took and put difficult words where there were easy words. All right? Now, you can't do that and then claim you made it easier to read or easier to understand. Now, I know why you believe it, because you believe it because somebody tells you that in a Bible bookstore. And if you want a good argument, go into a Bible bookstore and say, I want to buy a new Bible. And they'll say, what do you want? You say, I want a brand new, old King James Bible. Mm-hmm. And that guy is trained. I didn't say personally. I said he is trained. He has been told to argue with you.
Right.
That's funny because these guys are all love, 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 love. Let's get along. Hug. And when it comes to the King James Bible, they will fight to the death to keep from selling you one.
That's right.
And they will tell you, no, you want a new King James, you want a New American Standard, you want an NIV, you don't want a King James Bible. They've all been told that. It's not about a dollar, guys. They make 40% on a King James Bible. They make 40% on the NIV.
Right.
It's not money. I had a lady in my church, and this guy argued with her. She went into the bookstore, and he argued with her for 20 minutes. Finally, he went over and got the Thompson Publishing 1611 facsimile
yeah.
that is done like the original King James with the Gothic or the with the Gothic print. And he said, and he walked, he's real smart to her. He walked over and says, well, here, read that. And she had trouble. He says, see, if you insist that I sell you a King James Bible, that's what I have to sell you. She walked out of there crying. Mm. He would have walked out of there crying the day I went there.
That's right.
There.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, you big shot, going to make a woman cry in a Bible bookstore?
Right.
Yeah.
So this is not easier to read. I don't care what anybody tells you. It's not easier to read. And that you saw. That is what somebody told you. All right, now, excuse me, my head is, my brain is dissolving. Now, do you ever remember, any of you remember this? Sea Spot Run. Yeah. One night you're robbed. Well, today that's probably 10th grade reading. I understand that, but wasn't that your early reading?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the beginning? And why? You know why? Single syllable words.
Right.
So what we're going to look at now, reverse this. And we are going to look at places where the New King James takes usually a single syllable word and replaces it with a multi-syllable word. Alright, in Genesis chapter 9 and verse 9. The Bible says seed. The New King James Version has changed that to descendants. Come on. Now, here's what I want you to do. Instead of believing the commercials all the time, what I want you to do is see yourself with this 7-year-old or 8-year-old that you're trying to teach how to read and pick which one you would use. Ruth chapter 4 and verse 5 says, I will raise up 2 single syllable words. New King James, I will perpetuate.
Oh yeah, I can just see all these. Can you imagine talking to a six-year-old going, now, are we going to be perpetuating this?
Right. So, by the way, nobody talks like that. New versions.
Right? Nah. Mm-hmm.
Verse Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. This one's hard to understand.
Evil.
Evil? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You have to redefine the word evil for, well, you probably do have to redefine the word evil for a kid. It's not killing babies killing people or having babies out of wedlock or murdering people. It's, you know, it's things like cutting down trees and
right.
yeah.
hurting a snail darter.
Yeah. yeah.
You ever have a fried snail darter? So, they change it to distressing. Now, that's not only watered down, but it's multi-syllable. Look here, you got descendants, perpetuate, distressing, and you got that where you had single syllable words. It is not easier to read. Any first grade teacher who's honest and who doesn't know we're discussing the Bible issue.
Right.
would tell you that, that this one is easier. Now, if they knew this was the Bible issue, they'd find some way to back the New King James.
That's right.
2 Kings, chapter 12, and verse 5. It talks about a breach, all right, like a breach in the wall. I'm talking about the breach in the dikes down there in New Orleans. But we'll get this word kicked in our stand a little better. Dilapidations. Well, that's a lot easier to understand.
Sure.
You just say it's a breach. One syllable. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 letters. It's still only one syllable. And then you come with dilapidations.
Five.
That's not easier to read. It's not easier to understand. And when a Bible bookstore salesman tells you that, I'm going to tell you, he's not lying. Because he didn't know this either. If he knew this, he'd still tell you that the King James is hard to read because he's got to do what he's told. But he's just telling you what he's told and couldn't care less. He just wants to sell you anything but the Word of God. Jeremiah, chapter 36 and verse 6. It says, listen to the words of my mouth. Now, how do you simplify that? Instructions. Not easier to read. Daniel, chapter 1, verse 17. Now, I hope I don't throw you. I hate to do this. But we're going to two syllables from the King James Bible. Take it easy. Take it easy. Learning. Literature. Again. Where the King James jumped out there, probably left all the high schoolers behind by going to two syllables, but look what the New King James did. Acts, chapter 10, verse 1. And that's where it says that Cornelius is of the Italian band. But he wasn't. He was of the Italian regiment. Not easy to read, not easy to understand, no reason to get rid of the King James Bible. And here's one you guys dreamed about. In fact, I'm going to give you this one back. The New King James, in Acts chapter 27, verse 17, has Sardis sands. Yeah, watch out for those Sardis sands. Oh man, listen, so you guys had nightmares about these. Know what they are? Quicksand. Now what kid has not gone to bed at night scared to death quicksand was gonna get him somehow? You know? I mean, if your parents want to keep you out of the field, just go, don't go in there, there's quicksand. My parents did that with a basement for years. Anyway, but that's all you got to do, you know. If a kid thinks there's quicksand, I used to think it would reach out and grab you by the ankle and take you to China or something. But you know, if you put up a sign and it says "Don't go in here, quicksand," kids stay out of it. Put up a sign that says "Don't go in here, Sardis sands." They're going to go. Let's see what it looks like.
Yeah.
Look, it's a turn there. That last one we looked at earlier, Titus chapter 1, verse 6. It's got a couple of good ones. Titus. Titus chapter 1, verse 6. The Bible says, they're guilty of riot and unruly. I'm sorry, there's hardly a first grader doesn't know those two. and they're changed to dissipation. And insubordination. I guess we're going to court-martial the kid now. Now look what they did with two words in the same verse. From riot, unruly, dissipation, and insubordination. That is not easier to read. Okay? It is not easier to read. Remember I told you, see spot run? I guess with the, thank you, whoever you are. where it says see spot run, the New King James would be, observe the canine motivated. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this, but the New King James Version claimed to capitalize words that refer to deity. Now, let me say, before I go any farther, because some of you, I know what you're going to do, because you don't think. You're going to come up and say, well, you know, my King James Bible, there's words refer to Jesus Christ or God, and they aren't capitalized. The King James translators never said they were going to. They never said they were going to. That's why they didn't. And when people ask me why they didn't, I tell them, how would I know I wasn't there? I'm really not that old. But I'll tell you I don't know if they were thinking this, but I'm going to tell you why I'm glad the King James Bible did not say they were going to capitalize words that refer to God. Did you ever think about this? Remember, Jesus Christ showed up, and after his crucifixion, all of a sudden a bunch of Old Testament scripture opened up to everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, somebody went, whoa, that's what it meant back here in Psalm 22. My God, why has thou forsaken me? Right. I understand that now. Oh, I understand, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Think about this, prior to Jesus Christ being born, if somebody would have produced an Old Testament, a Hebrew Bible, and said, I'm going to capitalize all the words refer to God, they'd have missed every reference to Jesus Christ. They'd have missed every scripture that was a prophetic scripture that had not been fulfilled yet. And you know what I tell people? How do you know there's something in there? I know what you're thinking. Well, I know what the next prophecy is. It's going to be the Lord coming back. Yeah, I know. And you couldn't be wrong. I believe he's coming back, right? But who says there can't be something going on between now and then? And so, who knows that there may not be a scripture in there that refers to God, and we don't even know it yet.
Right.
Because something hadn't happened. You know how something can happen and change your view of the Bible? Look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, this is something that I read for years, and then one morning in September, my Bible reading changed forever. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 25. And there shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Mm. Now, you see what you all thought? What did you all think just now? Did you think of 9/11. World Trade Center? Right.
Yeah, sure.
Well, did you think that before September 11, 2001?
No.
So who knows that God should have something happen in our time, that all of a sudden a scripture is going to open up. So I have no problem that the King James translators never said that they were going to capitalize words that referred to deity. But the New King James, you have to give me a use one. You won't want this one back. They said they're going to capitalize words that refer to deity, and so let's just take a look at what they did, and be honest. You know, one of the things that sometimes we give the Bible translators too much credit. Sometimes we say, boy, they're wicked. They're diabolical. And they're so conniving. I'd say something. They're inept. And they're incompetent. Really. Having read the New King James Version four times, I'll tell you what, you know that thing I showed you about single-syllable words? When I read that New King James and the King James at the same time, what impressed me the most was how much the King James translators were able to say in single-syllable words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you would do it, if you read both of them cover to cover a few times, side by side, you would be amazed. I mean, the King James translators, I saw something good in the King James translators that as a King James Bible believer, I never even thought about before. And as I read the New King James Version, what I found was that some of what they did, they just weren't up to the task. This is a bunch of first graders trying to do brain surgery. Yeah. Really, that's what it is. It's not all wickedness. It's not all evil. These guys just ain't got what it takes. Of course, nobody should be messing with it, so nobody's got what it takes. But here's what I mean. In Deuteronomy, now they're gonna capitalize words that refer to deity. And Deuteronomy, hang on a second. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15, 18, 30, and 31. In those verses, you'll find the word rock in reference to our God, and it is capitalized. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 2, you'll find the word rock referring to our God, and it is not capitalized. But the next two are the very best. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2 is the word rock referring to our God, and it is not capitalized. But in the very same chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 47, there's a reference to God being our rock, and it is capitalized. Now guys, come on. It's the same chapter. Two times in the same chapter, God is referred to as the rock, and one time they capitalized it, and one time they didn't.
You say, that's just of the devil.
No, that's stupid. Really, that's incompetence. That guy's over their head. That's not the devil. That wouldn't take credit for that. He said, all right, that's stupid. He says, sometimes I turn these guys loose and let them do their own thing. All right, in Mark chapter 7, and that's where he's talking about where people profit from me. He says, where you profit from me. And apparently, according to the New King James translators, Jesus Christ didn't think he was deity. Because when he referred to himself, he never capitalized. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says that rock was Christ. And they got it capitalized. And then this one, and I'll tell every Roman Catholic in the country is interested in this one. Matthew chapter 16:18, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talking about himself, upon this rock I will build my church, and gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus Christ, in referring to himself, or referring to the rock, it is not capitalized. Therefore, the rock in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, in the New King James Version, is not Jesus Christ. It must be Peter. So there's not a Roman Catholic in the country who doesn't like Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, in a New King James Version. All right? Hang on. Now I need your preacher. I told him, I asked him to read something for me, and I told him there's no trap in this. I was lying, but I told him. Let's come over here. And what I'm going to ask you to do, Pastor, have you heard this? Have you heard new versions come out? And they're being neutered. You know, they're taking any references to he and she out of them, you know. They call those gender inclusive. Well, if you're taking gender out, they're not. They're gender exclusive. Right. Yeah. So I call them gender exclusive Bibles. And probably the newest one is the NIV small I, which I thought was for fuel injection. But I think it's for fool injection. But anyway, here's what most people do not know about the New King James. The New King James Version is more gender exclusive than gender exclusive versions. It is more gender exclusive than the New King, or than the NIV High. Now, the reason they never told you that is because they market this to conservatives, and gender-exclusive ones are marketed to liberals. They're targeted. They target liberals, so they make a big deal about gender. They would, you would, if they said New King James is gender-exclusive, conservatives automatically walk away from it. And so, you only find that out by reading. So here's what I'm going to do. We're just going to go through, you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. What we're going to do is we're just going to go just through 1 Corinthians. Now, guys, this isn't the Bible. This is just one book, but it's true all the way through. And you know what? It may be easier to read out of this. Well, I mean, no, it's just because you'd be right here. Hope this version has 1 Corinthians. Now, I'm going to read from the King James column, and your pastor's going to read from the New King James column. It's the same thing in study, so you'll be kind of familiar with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, wise men.
Wise.
Chapter 2, verse 4, man's wisdom.
Human wisdom.
Chapter 2, verse 11, no man.
No one.
Verse 15, no man.
By no one.
Chapter 3, verse 8, every man.
Each one.
Oh, I missed one. Verse 5, every man.
To each one.
Did we get verse 10? Verse 10, every man.
Each one.
Verse 11, no man.
Any one.
Verse 12, any man.
Any one.
Verse 13, I mean, we're talking about verse 10, verse 11, verse 12. We're not talking about one here and one over there. We'll go to 13. Every man.
Each ones.
14, any man.
Any ones.
15, any man.
Any ones.
17, any man.
Any ones.
Somebody don't like men.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny, you know, people always rip them on us guys for being chauvinist. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys, you're just a bunch of male chauvinists. Well, let me, do you know what's worse than a male chauvinist, baby? A woman that won't do what she's told. Anyway, but it really sounds like somebody's got a thing against men.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny? These are men. Well,
yeah, amen. Yeah, amen. Okay.
They may be doing the dishes and the laundry at home for all we know. Okay, and only not because they wanted to, because their wives didn't do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, no man.
No one.
Any man.
Any one.
Chapter 3, verse 21, no man.
No one.
Chapter 4, verse 2, a man.
One.
Verse 3, man's judgment.
Human court.
Verse 5, every man.
Each one.
6, of men. There's nothing. Gone. The guy's evaporated completely. They're gone. They don't even show up for a reveille or anything. They're gone. Verse 14, chapter 4, verse 14, sons.
Children.
And the reason I stopped now, but there's a verse here I want to get. We've got to get to it. Chapter 5, verse 11, any man.
Anyone.
Chapter 7, here, I'm not sure this is where it is. 18, any man.
Any one.
20, every man.
Each one.
24, every man.
Each one.
Ah, here it is. Listen to this. How diabolical. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 36, the flower of her age.
That's the flower of youth.
There. Even you women got yanked. So there. And you know what's funny? That verse isn't changed in the NIVI. So this is more gender exclusive than a Bible that sells itself as gender exclusive. And nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. And unless you read the thing, you're not going to find out. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, any man?
Anyone.
Verse 3, any man?
Anyone.
Chapter 9, verse 15, any man?
Anyone.
Verse 25, every man?
Everyone.
Chapter 10, verse 24, no man?
No one.
28, any man?
Anyone.
Chapter 11, verse 16, any man?
Anyone.
Chapter 12, verse 3, twice it says no man.
No one and no one.
Verse 7, every man?
Each one.
Verse 11, every man?
Each one.
Chapter 14, verse 2, no man.
No one.
Well, I think we've pretty much, I've got some more, but people all through, I think, if I'm not mistaken, 42 or 43 times gender has been excluded from 1 Corinthians alone in a New King James Version. I didn't say a modernist translation. I said a conservative translation. I said one that some of you might pick up when you wouldn't pick up an NIV or New American Standard. Now, I need you one more thing, preacher. Take this. Now, first let me explain. I want you to verify for them what that is. You can tell what the typeface is.
It's New King James Version.
All right, that's a New King James Version. And this one is also, the one column is a New King James Version. And I want you to get Zechariah chapter 13, both of those. And folks, go to Zechariah chapter 13. And in Zechariah chapter 13, we have one of those portions of Scripture that was hidden to the Jews until the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And Zechariah chapter 13. Now, have you ever had this happen? You know, you get some smart mouth, and you say, well, I use King James Bible, and they go, well, which King James do you use?
Yeah.
Do you use the 1611, or do you use the 1638, or do you use the 1769? And I say, I keep thinking they're referring to how many stitches they want. But so, Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 6 says this, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Well, obviously, that's a reference to the nail wounds in the hands of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
All right? But they didn't understand that until after crucifixion. Now, I'd like to read that verse from this New King James.
And someone will say to him, what are these wounds in your hands?
Okay. That's good enough. That reads like King James Bible. Right?
Sure.
So, there I've got New King James and King James both read the same. Now, preacher, read it from that New King James Version.
15:6. Okay. And one will say to him, what are these wounds between your arms?
Come on.
Guys, he read the same verse in two New King James Versions.
Yeah.
One is, what are these wounds in your hands? What are these wounds between your arms? He didn't read two new versions. He read the same new version, two different ones. You say, what happened? They're making running changes. This is, if I can say it, an old New King James. And this is one of the newer editions. And I'll tell you how I found this. I found this in my reading. Thank you, preacher. I found this in my reading, going through this thing four times. And then I remember I was in Michigan, and I was doing a lesson on the New King James, and I didn't have this with me. So I got me, somebody had an old cheap New King James, and so I said, and look at Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, and I read it, and it read right. Man. But, and I said, well, what's going on? And what's going on is,
So look, what I'm saying is this. When somebody says, what King James do you say? Well, which New King James do you use? Do you use the wounds in your hands or wounds between your arms version?
Right. Yeah.
Now, does anybody remember this? Because they make a big deal when these things come out. Does anybody remember when the New King James says, get the newest version, the newest edition, where we have changed it to say wounds between your arms instead of wounds in your hands? Does anybody remember that?
No.
So that means they're making the changes and not telling you.
That's right.
So that means you don't know how many other changes they make, right?
That's right.
You don't want that.
Amen.
You don't want a New King James Version. You know why? Because it's not easier to read. It's not easier to understand. It doesn't make anything clearer. It does not capitalize the words that refer to deity, to Jesus Christ. It takes gender out, both male and female, and it's making running changes that are destroying references, prophetic references to Jesus Christ. If you say that's an improvement over the King James, you're the devil.
Yeah.
Well, really, that's the only way you could say it. Well, only the devil would say those are improvements.
Yeah.
God would never say that's an improvement. So if you say, well, they can improve it, then you must be the devil. I'm not trying to vilify you, but that's the only person that could be glad. Okay? Hey, when our towers were knocked down, the people that were dancing in the streets were our enemies.
Right.
That's right. Right.
You understand that? It was Muslims dancing in New York, not Baghdad, in New York. And they were dancing the street. You know why? Because they're the enemy. They must be the enemy. They're glad about the horrible change that came to our country.
Right.
Well, if you say that the changes that were made in New King James are good, you must be the enemy. And I know who the enemy of the Bible is.
Yeah.
It's the devil.
Hey, that's right. Man.
So now, see, but preacher, I have a New King James. Dump it.
Amen.
Dump it. Oh, no, but I get this. Look, I get the lame, limp-wristed, soggy, sorry excuses on why people have them. Then I get these guys who come up and say this. Hey, here's what I say, guys. You know what I am? I'm a sinner. I'm a stupid sinner. And if I can see through your argument, you better not take it to God.
Amen.
Okay? Really, I mean, if I can see through your stupid argument, you're in big trouble trying to convince God of this. And I have guys say this. But I paid $100 for this New King James. And if I don't use it, I've lost $100. Now, you young people won't understand this at all. You older, you'll understand this. If all you ever get cheated out of in your life is $100,
you've
done well.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll bet you I've taught some folks you wish all you ever lost was $100.
Yeah, that's right.
So, okay, I'm sorry, but they got you again. Take the hit.
Yeah.
Or I get this. But my grandmother bought this one.
Well.
What would you do if your grandmother bought you a pink mohair sweater? Come on.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what you do. You know what I do? I would thank her. I'm not going to puke in front of her. You thank her. You go, oh, Grandma, thank you. I don't have anything like this.
Thank God.
And then you take it home and you bury it in a back dresser drawer and never use it.
Right. Right. Right.
Oh, yeah. I want to see some of you guys walk in your pink motor sweater and say, well, my grandmother bought it for me.
That's good.
So if your grandmother, well, my grandmother, you know, she knew I was a King Jameser, and so she bought me this New King James, and so I have to use it. No, you got to take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to use it.
Amen. That's good.
All right. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll take a break. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your very great kindness, God. I pray, Lord, that these folks will be true to your book. I pray, God, they'll be true to your King James Bible, and that they'll read it. Because, Father, if they don't read it, there is really no value in believing. God, I pray you're blessed with all that is done today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We were looking at ours like...
No, see, that's what I said. The King James Translators never claimed that.
Oh, okay.
But the New King James.
Oh, okay. We were like, oh.
Yeah, no, pumpkin.